Genesis chapter 21 and the first 7 verses. Now this is a miracle, of course, that's recorded here. The birth of Isaac to Sarah and to Abraham when they were well beyond the age of childbearing, according to the promise of God, Isaac was born to Sarah. Genesis 21, verses 1 to 7. As I say, a miracle. Extraordinary is not the word. But there are principles here which carry over through the rest of Scripture and apply to us today. And let me, just in this brief discourse, very brief discourse, put the seed heads to you, as it were, put the points to you. They can be developed and should be developed, but let me bring the headings to you. These are the things I see here in these verses. First, the God of grace. Grace. Look at verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious. What a word. Coming so early in the Bible, even before the Old Covenant, how much more in the days of the New Covenant where we live now, in the days of the Gospel, in the days of the coming of Christ into the world, and the Gospel of Christ, the Spirit of Christ among us. God is a God of grace. Unbeliever, you have no idea of the grace God displays to you and shows to you and has shown to you and is even showing to you now. Not that this sermon is a great sermon, this discourse is a wonderful discourse, but yet once again you are hearing the opportunity, having the opportunity of hearing the Gospel, receiving the opening, the grace of God in the Gospel. And believer, brother and sister, we have long, long proved it. God is a God of grace and mercy, kindness and love to us. This is such a powerful statement here. But have we not proved it? And shall we not live to prove it, and for eternity be rejoicing in it? The Lord is gracious, free grace, sovereign grace, amazing grace, wonderful grace. Was it not gracious of God to send his Son into the world, not only to teach and to be an example, but to die for sinners, and to bleed, and to be sacrificed for their everlasting redemption? And not only for the redemption of sinners, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How gracious is that? The Lord was gracious to Sarah in giving her a son. How much more can we rejoice? The Lord has been gracious to us, has he not? Secondly, I see here, God is a promising God. That comes over and over again. The Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. Oh yes, God is a saying God. God is a promising God. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Verse 1. He is a promising God. Verse 2. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Yes, the promising God. And verse 7. Sarah said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children?" Well, God did. God did. Unbeliever, the God I speak for, the God in whose name I address you now, is a promising God. He promises mercy to you. He offers mercy to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There's the promise. He offers mercy to you. Believer, brother and sister, have we not proved over and over again the exceeding great and precious promises of God to us? His word is replete with them, full of them. Our Bible tells us that our God is a promising God, and our experience confirms it. Have we not heard him promise? Have we not felt his promise? Have we not experienced his promise and enjoyed it? And that takes me immediately to the next point. God is not only a promising God, he is a performing God. Verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. He not only promises, he does. he performs. Verse 2. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. God did it, you see, because he had promised it. And verse 6. God has brought me laughter. Yes, it was God who had done it. It was the act of God. Our God, brother and sister, is a performing God. He not only promises, he keeps his word. And what more can he say than to us he has said, to us whom to Jesus for refuge have fled? What more can he say? Nothing more. He has said all we need. Oh, unbeliever, our God is a performing God. He tells you that he will save sinners, all who call upon him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And everyone who does call, and that includes you, if you will call, shall be saved. He is the performing God. He keeps his word. I would warn you of that, by the way. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. God will keep that word too. The next head I want to bring to you is this, that God performs, yes, but he performs precisely, exactly according to the timing that he determines. It's stressed here, verse 2. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time. Oh, yes, at the very time. This is not the only place. Already we've seen it in Genesis 15, and it's performed in Exodus 12, that Israel would be in Egypt in slavery, but they would be delivered. And Exodus 12 tells us that that deliverance came at the very time, the very day that God had said. Here is the very time. Galatians 4:4, our Lord Jesus came into the world in the fullness of time, at the very time. Habakkuk 2:3, the vision is for the appointed time. God keeps his word, and he keeps it precisely. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, and every unbeliever will prove it. Every knee shall bow to Jesus and confess, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, unbeliever, you will scoff at it now, mock it now if you will, but it will come. You will bow the knee, and your lips will say to Jesus that he is Lord. Oh, do it now for saving purposes. Don't leave it to the day of judgment. The fifth point here is that God is a commanding God. Verse 4. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. God had commanded him. Oh, yes. He had commanded him to circumcise the boy. And Abraham did it. He didn't quarrel with God. He didn't question God. God expects obedience, you see. He commands obedience. He warns you, unbeliever. He offers mercy to you. He promises grace to you, but he's not dallying or temporizing. God commands all men everywhere to repent. And my next point is, because it's in Scripture here, is that Abraham was obedient. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him. That's the way, unbeliever. God commands all men everywhere to repent. That's you, man or woman. Everywhere. Then repent. Look to me and be saved. All the ends of the earth. That means everybody. And that includes you. Then look to Jesus and be saved. God expects it. And it was the eighth day Abraham did it. And that's exact according to the word of God, Genesis 17:12. Oh, yes. God commands. He offers. He warns. He invites. Oh, yes, there are many things I could say about God, but he expects and demands obedience from us, from you. Brother and sister, we trust and obey. Unbeliever, obey the gospel. Submit to Christ. Oh, yes. That's the call of this passage. And the final point is the rejoicing and the laughter That comes over and over again, verses 3 and verses 6 to 7. Isaac is called by his name because of laughter. We've had laughter before in this book. Abraham rejoiced. Sarah mocked, scorned. But now she really is rejoicing. Who would make me laugh like this? Oh, it's too good to be true, but it is not too good to be true. And she rejoices. God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Oh, I've borne him a son in his old age. Who would have believed it, but God performed it? We sometimes sing, do we not, with John Newton, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How precious, how sweet, how glorious the sound of it. What a wonderful thing it is. I stand all amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. That's the things I see here, my friend. Grace. God is a God of grace. The promising God, the performing God, exactly, precisely at the right time, but commanding us to obey, and obedience must be prompt, precise, exact. And all comes to rejoicing in laughter and amazement at the grace of God. This is a word for me, brother and sister. It's a word for you. Let us trust and obey and go on rejoicing in God. It's a word to you, unbeliever, too. Warning, inviting, offering, pleading, urging you to come to Christ. Do I hear anybody saying, well, you know, it's too late for me? Winston Churchill said this to Billy Graham. It's too late. But it wasn't too late. Oh, no. It wasn't too late. Abraham was 100 here. Is there somebody 100 listening to me? The rest of your life begins now, my friend. But perhaps you're 10, or perhaps you're 60, or perhaps you're 20. Doesn't matter what you are. You're never too young, and you're never too old to start. Begin today. Look unto Jesus. Repent of your sin. Call out for mercy. And go on to live a life of rejoicing in God. Yes, this is a miracle. Yes, it's extraordinary. But the principles are abiding. May God write these principles in our hearts, and may they be lived out in our lives. For the glory of God and for our everlasting good. For your good, your everlasting good, my friend. Amen.